Thank you, Jim. Good morning. Thanks for worshiping with us. Everybody have a good Thanksgiving? I did a lot of traveling. I didn't gain a lot of weight because we was too busy chasing dogs around. But we went to Nashville for my family's Thanksgiving. Then we come back home and we went to Indianapolis for her Thanksgiving. And if you've ever been in a house with 50 people, in a house that comfortably seats 15 people, you know what we kind of went through. But she got a chance to meet some of her cousins that she hasn't met since they were born. So it was not just a Thanksgiving for my wife. It was kind of a reunion. I do have to say, though, everybody asked me if I had pumpkin pie. I did not. I had turkey and gravy, but no pumpkin pie. So there's a refrigerator in the kitchen. And if you had any extra pumpkin pie, you just leave it and don't tell Sherry about it so that I can have some of it. Anyway, it's good to be back in Lawrenceville, Illinois. And it's good to be back in our series on James. So if you have your Bible, turn over to James. We're going to talk about taming the tongue this morning. In chapter 1, we discussed a little bit about our speech and how we talk and being faithful in our words. We're going to take that a bit further this morning as we look at James chapter 3, verses 1 through 12. And while you're turning there, let me tell you about the experience that the late John Wesley had as he was preaching a sermon. John Wesley was one of those preachers who wore bow ties, which you'll never see me do. So don't buy me one. He wore bow ties, and at this particular sermon, he had a bow tie, and the streamers went way down here. And during the sermon, he noticed that a lady kept looking at him and looking at him, and actually she was glaring with anger at him. And at the end of the sermon, he said, "Ma'am, is there something wrong?" And she said, "Yes, I'm offended by your bow tie. Their strings are way too long." So Mr. Wesley said, "Is there anybody in the congregation that has scissors?" And well, sure enough, you ladies keep scissors in your purse, some of you. She brought the scissors up, give them to the lady. And John Wesley said, "Here, I'll let you trim my bow tie." And she did. She trimmed the trim so they weren't near as long. And then he said, "Can I borrow the scissors for just a minute?" And she said, "Yeah, you can borrow. For what reason?" She goes, "Well, you have something that's way too long on you too. And I would like you to extend your tongue just as long as you can so I can trim on it." To my knowledge, that's a true story. I'm not going to ask you to stick out your tongues because we already did that. That didn't go over too well. In James chapter 3, James talks a lot about the tongue, the power of the tongue, the good that the tongue can do, and also the bad that the tongue can do. Let me ask you a question. Have you ever said something you wish you could take back? Go ahead and raise your hand. I don't know what the situation was. I'm not going to be nosy. I'm not going to ask about what situation was. But I found a lot of times, usually when we say things we need not to, it involves family. Amen? I think it's because we take advantage of the situation and we're used to the norm of being around family, and we say things we need not say, things that we wish we could take back but we can't, because once they're out there, guess what? They're out there forever. Maybe it's at your spouse. Something that you've said that you wish you could have taken back because to this very day you know that it hurts them because of the words you said. Maybe it's at a family reunion. Maybe it's something that you heard or something that you said that family reunions will never be the same ever again. Matter of fact, some people don't ever attend family reunions anymore because of words that were said during that gathering. Maybe it's a job advancement. You said something you shouldn't have said. You were in line for the job. You were supposed to get it, but you couldn't keep your trap shut. Amen. And you didn't get the advancement because you just knew that you deserved the job and you said something you shouldn't have said it, and it's irreversible. And you didn't get the job. Friends, I want you to know this morning that our tongues have gotten us in a lot of trouble down through the years. In wars and battles, our tongues have gotten us in trouble. Did you know that 1/5 of the time in your life you spend talking? 1/5, write it down, 1/5. Now that 1/5 does not include Facebook, Instagram, or Snapchat or texting, because it is inclusive though because when James talks about taming the tongue, he's also talking about Snapchat, Facebook, texting, all this stuff. You can go ahead and write in your Bible, because it is inclusive and not exclusive. Just because you don't say it verbally doesn't mean that it's okay. You can't text something that tears people down. You can't Snapchat somebody that tears people down. You can't do that, because it is inclusive in what James says here today. And that's also, that one-fifth is not the time that we spend talking to ourselves. I thought I'd get a laugh out of that. Because I have found as I get older, I talk to myself more. Anyone else? As a matter of fact, it just happened this week. My daughter Gracie said, "Dad, who are you talking to?" And I said, "Well, I'm not talking to anybody. I'm just talking to myself." And as a preacher, you can get by with this. I'm practicing this sermon. So all you people that are not preachers or teachers, you're going to have a hard time explaining why you talk to yourself all the time. But I have found that I talk to myself a lot. Here's a statistic. Write it down. Experts say that men talk over 20,000 words a day. Women, on the other hand, women speak 30,000 words a day, and on a good day, they can go up to 50,000. Amen, guys? I wasn't going to talk about my wife because she told me not to, but if the shoe fits, what? But friends, I want you to know today that our tongues have gotten us in a lot of trouble. On Sunday, we worship God. We praise Him with our tongues. But on Monday, we use gossip and slander and swearing. And we tear other people down. And on the same day that we worship God, the very next day, we slander God and slander God's people. If you don't remember anything else I say this morning, I want you to remember this. Write it down. Your tongue and what you say is a meter of what your spiritual life is. I'll say it again. Your tongue and what you say is a meter of what your spiritual life is. How many believe that? What comes out of your mouth describes your spiritual maturity. And if you say dumb things or talk about people all the time, that says that you're not very mature in the faith. In James 1:19, remember that? We talked about that. James says everyone, not some of you, he says everyone should be quick to listen and slow to speak and slow to become angry. God gave us two ears to listen and He only gave us one mouth to talk. So the next time that you get overjoyous about talking, just remember you're supposed to be listening twice as much because you have two ears. Well, in James chapter 3 verses 1 through 12, he goes a step deeper with this tongue, with our speech and being faithful that way. I want to read it and to follow along if you will, if you have your Bibles open. And then we will dissect it. Not many of you should presume to be teachers, my brothers, because you know that we who teach will be judged more strictly. We all stumble many ways. If anyone is never at fault at what he says, he is a perfect man, able to keep his whole body in check. Wow, that's big, isn't it? When we put bits in the mouths of horses to make them obey us, we can turn the whole animal. Or take a ship, for example. Although they are so large and are driven by strong winds, they are steered by a very small rudder wherever the pilot wants them to go. Likewise, the tongue is a small part of the body, but it makes great boasts. Consider what a great forest is set on fire by a small spark. The tongue is also a fire, a whirl of evil among the parts of the body. It corrupts the whole person, sets the whole course of his life on fire, and is itself set on fire by hell. All kinds of animals, birds, reptiles, and creatures of the sea are being tamed and have been tamed by man. But no one can no one can tame the what? The tongue. It is a restless evil full of deadly poison. With the tongue we praise our Lord and Father, and with it we curse men who have been made in God's likeness or His image. Out of the same mouth comes praise and cursing. My brothers, this should not be. Can both fresh water and salt water flow from the same spring? My brothers, can a fig tree bear olives or a grapevine bear figs? Neither can a salt spring produce fresh water. And all God's people said. So, James uses several illustrations in this text, and we're going to look at them, all six of them. But in your bulletins, you notice that I didn't give you a lot of homework or a lot of blanks to fill, and I give you three. But they're very important words, and I want you to pay attention here this morning. The first word is this: the tongue has the power to direct. Has the power to direct. James says in chapter 3, verse 1 through 4, not many of you should become teachers, my fellow Brett believers. Remember I said that if it's a believer, circle it, underline it, because he's talking to Christians. This is not an apostolic conversation. He's not talking to the apostles. He's talking to teachers, regular Christians like you and I. And he says, because you know that you who teach will be judged more strictly. We stumble many ways, but anyone who is never at fault in what he says is perfect. Did you know that your mouth is the source of perfection? I never thought about that. When we put bits in the mouths of horses to make them obey us, we can turn the whole animal. Or take a ship, for example. Although they are so large and are driven by strong winds, they are steered by a very small rudder wherever the pilot wants them to go. The first thing James says here scares me. Because you who teach and preach, you can throw that in there, you who preach and teach will be judged more strictly on Judgment Day. In other words, we have a very important responsibility as preachers and teachers to direct people towards Christ. It's very important what we say, that we study about it, that we think about it, that we spend adequate time in our Sunday school preparation and our sermon preparation so that we make sure that we say what the Bible says. One of the things that really bothers me is the sinner's prayer. It's not anywhere in the Bible. And I see men and women all over TV saying the sinner's prayer. Just say this prayer and we believe you got saved. That is not what the Bible says. The Bible says, repent of your sins, confess Jesus to be Lord of your life, and be baptized, and then you receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. The sinner's prayer is not godly. It's not biblical. It's a nice prayer. It sounds really good, but it's not of the Bible. And nowhere in that prayer do they mention baptism. I want you to know that's false teaching at its purest form. James goes on to use two powerful illustrations here. He uses a horse, and he uses a ship or a boat. Now, Brad and Missy would probably do a better job coming up here and tell you about how you can do whatever you want to the horse by just turning it with the bridle any way you want. And they barrel race, right? You do barrel racing? And the horse would die if I was on top of it trying to barrel race. But they do barrel racing. And they'll tell you, a lot of it's in the bridle. When you turn to go around the barrel, you better have the bridle turn the right direction. You better have it turn the right pressure that horse comes around the barrel, and it's very important. It's amazing how that little bridle that you put in a horse's mouth, you can control the entire animal. And then he says, take a rudder on a ship. Even though the winds blow it away, the pilot can steer it back in the direction it needs to go with just a rudder on the back of a ship. Ching and I got to go to Alaska about, 6 years ago? It was amazing. We flew into Vancouver, and we came down through Ketchikan and Juneau and Denali, and it was a wonderful cruise. And I got curious. Most people that raise on the farm, they get curious about the equipment that they're on. So I got to searching around. I wonder how much this ship weighs. And I went up there by the captain's quarters, everything. He waved at me and all this. I was getting kind of nosy, and I seen a little plaque on the side. And if my memory serves me well, that thing weighs 200,000 tons. 200,000 tons. Jerry and Gene's been on a cruise. They know big things are huge. They got swimming pools and tennis courts and you name it, they got it. I can't remember. What is it? 2 football fields long, some of them? Some of the ships are? Anyway, 200,000 tons. Well, guess how much the Titanic weighed? 59,000 tons. It puts it in perspective. This thing is a lot bigger. Don't tell my English teacher. A lot bigger than any Titanic. How can a little rudder in the back of that big 200,000 ton ship turn that big thing wherever it wants to go? It's amazing. And the guys that came up with that technology, they're a lot smarter than what we are. But I want you to know the tongue is just as powerful. The words we say, what comes out of our mouth, we either are edifying people or we're discouraging people with our tongues. Jesus says in Luke 12:48, from everyone who has been given much, much will be demanded. And from the one who has been given or entrusted with much, much will be asked. And what Jesus is trying to say here, if you have been given the responsibility as a teacher or a preacher, you'll be held accountable. A stricter judgment than the regular person sitting in the pew. Be very careful about how you handle the Word of God. Solomon said in Proverbs 15:1-2, a gentle answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger. The tongue of the wise commends knowledge, but the mouth of a fool gushes out folly. Learn to watch what you say, especially if you are a preacher or a teacher. Make sure it is in accordance with sound doctrine. And be very careful when you're teaching adults and kids that you say what is biblical, not what's on your mind. Secondly, the tongue has the power to destroy. James in chapter 3:5-8 says, likewise, the tongue is a small part of the body, but it makes great boasts. Consider what a great forest is set on fire by a small spark. The tongue also is a fire, a world of evil among the parts of the body. It corrupts the whole person, sets the whole course of his life on fire, and by itself is set on fire by what? By hell. All kinds of animals, birds, reptiles, and creatures of the sea have been tamed and are being tamed by man, but no man can tame the tongue. It is a restless evil full of deadly poison. Here James uses two more illustrations of forest fire, and we know the damage a forest fire can do because of what happened in California. If I'm not mistaken, it was a campfire, right? And from that little campfire, hundreds and maybe even thousands of homes were destroyed by just a small spark. And people that smoke, be careful. Don't flick your butt out there in the forest and thinking, well, it's just a little butt. It's not going. Well, it might. Might set the entire forest on fire. Might that burn down Lawrenceville. We don't want that to happen. But amazing the damage that a little spark, a little fire can do. Our tongues are a little spark, and we say things we ought not to. Or we say things we wish we could take them back. And it's like a little spark. And it's like gangrene. It just boils over. And then he uses the illustrations of animals. Anybody been to SeaWorld? A lot better than Disney World, amen? Did I say that? Yeah. But anyway, at least you're going to see some action. And they have these little dolphins. And they get out there in the water with them. I say, are you crazy? And they got killer whales out there. Used to, some of them. And they get out there with these animals. And those animals would do exactly what those people tell them to do. I'm thinking, I wish I had people in my life that would do that. But it's amazing what you can teach an animal. It's amazing what you can teach a dog. A lot of people would rather be around their dogs than what they would be around people. How many of you people are like that? Don't raise your hand. Why would you rather be around your dog than be around people? Because dogs don't talk back. Oh, they bark at you once in a while. They do? Okay. All right, don't get a dog like Bill's got, like a blue heeler. But dogs, they usually don't talk back. They might bite you once, but wouldn't you rather be bit by a dog than to be scorned with someone with words? As I get older, I realize why people love the dog so much. Now, I'm not one of those people that get down on the floor and say, oh, get you, doggy. I'm not one of those people. Maybe someday I will be if I hear enough words, bad words. In Proverbs 18:21, Solomon says, the tongue has the power of life and death, and those who love it will eat its fruit. He also says in Proverbs 13:3, out of the Living Bible translation, those who control their tongues will have a long life. Opening your mouth, however, can ruin everything. I like that translation here, because Solomon is saying, if you watch your tongue, you can live a long life. How many of you know people that kept their tongue and lived to be old? I think about that a little bit. You think about why I'm talking here. There have been a lot of people that lived a long life because they kept their mouth shut. I know what you're thinking. We're in trouble. We're in trouble. And then he says, but those who open their mouth and they say things they don't think about, it ruins everything. As I think about that verse, I've seen people's lives ruined because of a few words. I've seen marriages tore apart because of a few words. I've seen reunions that started out great turned into a disaster because of a few words. I've seen Thanksgiving dinners and Christmas dinners start out great, but they turn into a disaster. You know why? Because of a few words that were said. It's hard to reverse them. It's hard to take them back. You can't. And not only that, it's hard to make amends for things that we say that we shouldn't have said. And sometimes I've seen it in my own life. It takes years and years and years to make amends because of something that was said that came out of our mouth that we can't take back. Amen. A few years ago, I was at a funeral. A good friend of mine. And I looked around and I couldn't find part of their immediate family. Well, I got to hinting around after the service, well, we're so-and-so. Well, they're not here. You know, they got into it about a few years ago and they didn't even come to their dad's funeral. And I thought, wow. I said, that's a shame. How can you say something so harsh and so hateful and so hurtful that you couldn't even go to your dad's funeral, or you're not welcome to be around people that are at your dad's funeral? I've performed weddings where one family's on this side, one family's on this side, because they can't talk, they can't get along. I've facilitated funerals. One family's on this side, and the other family's on this side, and they dare not cross the aisle because they're not welcomed. And I've been in situations that I didn't even know you could cut the tension with a knife. You ever been there before? Didn't even know what's going on. I went into a church one time. Ching and I, we were traveling. We were actually in Florida. And we went to Jacksonville. We walked inside of a church. And I told her, I said, wow, there's something going on here. And it wasn't long that people said, yeah, we're going through a split right now. Because of some words that were said and people were offended. And now we're going through a hard time. Been there before? Friends, I want you to know that the words that we say, the words that flow off of our tongue, can either edify or it can destroy. It can either build or tear down. Third and finally, the tongue has the power to delight. Verses 9 through 12 says, with the tongue we praise our Lord and Father, and with it we curse human beings who have been made in God's likeness or His image. Out of the same mouth comes praise and cursing. My brothers and sisters, this should not be. Can both fresh water and salt water flow from the same spring? My brothers and sisters, notice that he throws women here too. Can a fig tree bear olives or a grapevine bear figs? Neither can a saltwater spring produce fresh water. Once again, James uses two more illustrations here. Can you imagine leaning over a fresh water spring and getting a drink and coming up with salt water coming out of your mouth? Or can you imagine going to a vineyard hoping to get grapes, and when you opened it up, it was full of figs? That's crazy, isn't it? But that's the way the tongue is. One minute we are giving praise to God on Sunday morning. Hey, hallelujah. It's good to have you here. Thanks for worshiping with us. Praise God from whom all blessings flow. And then we go outside in the parking lot. Somebody cut me off. I can't believe they did that. Oh, the inconsistencies of the tongue. Oh, the trouble we have gotten ourselves into because of the tongue. You remember Adolf Hitler? Some of you do. Adolf Hitler almost destroyed an entire nation, and he was bent on destroying the Jewish people with his big mouth. And I want you to know what his big mouth did for him. It not only ruined him on earth, it also ruined him in damnation. While men like FDR and Winston Churchill have tried to survive and build a nation through encouraging words, and some of their words still live on today, even in our nation, as they went through a time of depression and they tried to build their countries back up, and we give honor to men like that. What's the difference? An encouraging word builds others up, while a discouraging word tears them down, and not only tears them down, but destroys them. Let me ask you a question as we wind this down this morning. Are you an encourager with your words and your tongue, or are you a discourager? Colossians 4, 6 says, "Let your conversations be always full of grace, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how to answer everyone." It's not on your bulletin. I want you to write it down, because this is the most important verse I'm going to talk about this morning. In Colossians 3, 17, Paul says, very important, "Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom, and as you sing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs with gratitude in your hearts to God." And here, get this. "Whatever you do, in word or in deed, do it all in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ." Whatever you do, in word or in deed, do it all in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And then he says, "Give thanks to God, the Father, through him." That's huge. Solomon says in Proverbs 12, 14, "For the fruit of his lips, a man is filled with good things." Beginning this morning, before you say something, I want you to think about it. And if you struggle with that, if you're one of those people that always has to spout off, learn to do this. Learn to count to three. Okay, I got something to say. One, two, three. Okay, I don't have something to say. So we're getting ready for this congregational meeting. I don't need to say any more about that. One, two, three. Will you finish this saying for me? "Sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never harm me." That is a lie of the devil. Friends, and if you think that you can say words like "I hate you," or "you're worthless," "you'll never amount to a hill of beans," or "why can't you do this," or "why can't you do this," or "why can't you be like this person," or "why can't you be like that person," don't think for a second that's not hurting and cunning. It is. You can't take those words back. And I've seen kids live with words like that from the time that was said to the time they die, and they still hurt because of the words that were said. Be careful what you say. Whatever you do, in word or in deed, do it all in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Whatever you do. You know what? There's a lot of things we do in life. There's a lot of things we say in life. Do them all in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Maybe this morning, you are here this morning and you are hurting because of something that was said to you 20, 30, and even 40 years ago, and you can't get past it. It's something that someone you love said to you and you can't get past it, and you have a hard time forgiving them. I want you to know the invitation is for you. Maybe you're one of those people that have said something and you know you hurt a lot of people, or maybe even one person, and you need to come forward and say, "You know what? I just need to ask for forgiveness." Invitation for you. Maybe you're here this morning, you've never accepted Christ as your Lord and Savior, you've never been buried in the watery graves of Christian baptism, the invitation is for you. And maybe you're here this morning, you want to join the church here at Central. We'd love to have you, amen? And I encourage you with encouraging words, join us as we worship the Lord together, as we speak in word and in deed, all for the glory of God the Father. Let's pray. Father, shut our mouths when we can't say what's nice. Lord, help us to bring glory and honor and praise and singing of hymns to you with joyful hearts. But Lord, when we walk out the door, help us to remember those songs that we sang, the songs that we praised. And Lord, if necessary, please shut our mouths. And Lord, before we speak, before we say anything, help us think about our words. Help us to be encouraging and not discouraging. In the name of Jesus Christ, in his name we pray. Amen.